Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. I'm Byron Lazine, along with Chaz Cook, and today, Rod Cross from the One Team, as well as Rob Wallace. I'm thinking it's Brian Skelly, but we've got Rob Wallace from the One Team as well. It's all One Team here today. One Team at William Rivers Real Estate, myself, again, Byron Lazine, Rob, Rod, and Chaz here on this Saturday. What's going on, boys?
Not too much. Excited to have Rod here today, and excited that we are 1 week out from the 43rd annual home show at Mohegan Sun.
Oh, we've got the home show next Saturday. Of course, you want to visit the Service Station Equipment booth. Service Station Equipment booth will be right on your right when you walk in. Come and visit the booth first at Service Station Equipment so you can get your bag, your little tote bag, so you can walk around to everybody else's booths and fill it up. Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. Be giving out branded bags along with the One Team on one side and Service Station on the other side. Visit the booth directly on your right. Mohegan Sun, Jenks Production, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Home show at Mohegan Sun. I might be popping around Michael Jordan's, you know, a little bit. Who knows? You know, in and out of the home show and MJ's. It's always a great time. Come down to Mohegan Sun next weekend. Service Station Equipment. But we also have another big announcement. That's why we've got Rod Cross here from the team. Rod has something he wants to share and talk about. Rod, what's going on in your world? And what should we know about it here in real estate radio land?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. This piece is sort of like a realtor profile, and I'm really excited to share it. But what I do is I represent the United States in the World Transplant Winter Olympic Games, which is going to be held in Bormio, Italy this year from March 2nd to March 8th. 21 plus countries from around the world get together and they celebrate the opportunity to transplant, save lives, bring awareness to the world from a platform that is different than our everyday lives. And we celebrate the people that maybe haven't had the opportunity to make it to something like that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people on a wait list that could never compete in anything like that. So I go there and compete in slalom, giant slalom, and super G. So I do it for I ski on behalf of the people that can't do it for themselves.
Rod, you and I were talking yesterday. So this is mainly for organ transplant donors. So liver, kidney, some heart. You said not a lot of lung because of the recovery and then obviously the stress competing at that level. Do you mind sharing a little bit about your story and how you came to compete in the World Transplant Games?
Yeah, that's correct. I am a liver transplant patient. Unfortunately, I got very sick around 2010, suddenly so. Unexpectedly changed my life forever, and then had a very successful liver transplant in 2011 in January after being in the hospital for 6 months living at Yale, which was quite the experience to spend 6 months living in a hospital bed. It's no fun, and I don't recommend it to anybody. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to qualify for these winter games. It's not something you really want to do, but if you do, it's a great experience to share your good fortune in the special gift that has been given to people who receive transplants. It's a special gift, and we're always grateful to the people that have ultimately given the gift of life.
And so this is your second games,
correct.
And I see on your sweatshirt, you got a game sweatshirt on there repping it, and you also got your medals. You got a bronze and a silver from the last time you competed.
That's correct.
So do they hold these at the same or the opposite, like same cadence as the Summer Olympics, so every 4 years, or did you just not go in 2022 because too many things, too many variables for transplant recipients in terms of the pandemic?
So this is a recognized International Olympic Committee event. Multi-countries, all kinds of different countries participate, like I said, over 21 in this particular thing. The summer games are far larger, similar to the regular Olympics too. But yes, it's on the same format. It's every 2 years for each one. Alternating the 2 years. In this particular case, it's been a few years since it we haven't had it since 2020 because after our last one, I arrived home to the world shutting down. We had just got them in, and on the way home in the plane, we were hearing that the world is basically shutting down at that point. In fact, the French team and the Italian team had a great difficulty getting back into their country after spending so much time in Canada. They were in full pandemic, whereas we were just about to shut down here. And so it was a scary experience because you have all these, hundreds of people traveling around the world who are immunosuppressant. And at that point, the immunosuppressant person was thought of as being at high risk. Mm-hmm. So it was a challenging thing, but it is an Olympic Committee event. Yep.
And I'm sorry, but you're going to ask a question.
No, I was going to just reference the medals around Rod's neck right now. I mean, it looks like what they'll be handing out in Paris in the summer, but I guess that makes sense. If this is a Olympics Committee event, it feels very Olympian to me.
People take it very seriously. It's people. I was just telling these guys outside that some of the countries are already in full training mode. Italy is training on a daily basis and sending information saying we're coming for you. They're really egging me on there a little bit. They call me Bodie Miller just because of my unconventional style compared to their. You know, they're all perfectly dressed and showing
there's
up.
There's some competition, a little trash talking there's going on, too, right? There's a little trash talking
going on, yeah. You have France posting stuff saying that they're fully ready to take home victory. I'm specifically designating those two countries as my particular competition because I'm going to bring home a little American whoop. You know what?
That's what we're looking forward to.
You've clearly won some gold there before.
Unfortunately, the gold has eluded me by about 0.4 of a second.
So what is that? Is that bronze? What is that?
I have a bronze and I have a silver.
Okay.
So there's a guy from Poland who was on who was exceptionally good. Trains a junior team and was on a junior team himself as a child. There's a guy from Italy. There's a guy from Great Britain. These are near professional skiers. They really rip. And I lucked out when I showed up there. Everybody's in their perfect speed suits and it has their country represented on the side and their emblems and stuff. And I show up and I'm sort of sideways Vermont hat and it's baggy clothes. And I'm like, all right, here we go. I didn't know what to expect the first time around, but now I know what to expect. And I've been doing a little more training. I have a speed suit, which no 50-something-year-old man should be really seen in that, but but it's all right. I'll survive.
When we come back, Rod will tell us what it's going to take for him to bring the gold back to Connecticut at the 2024 World Transplant Winter Games. We'll also tell you where you can help support Rod. Rod Cross is an agent here at the One Team in Connecticut, always supporting your local community. We'll tell you where you can support him in the World Transplant Winter Games, all that when we come back. Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. Byron Lazine, Chaz Cook, Rob Wallace, and along with us, our peer and friend, Rod Cross from the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. Rod is gearing up to go to the 2024 World Transplant Winter Game in Italy from March 3rd to March 8th. We'll let you know where you can support him. And we're learning more about the USA transplant team, what it means to the organ transplant community, and what they're going to be doing out there. Before we get to that, we also have, obviously, maybe not as admirable as what Rod's doing, but always admirable for our Connecticut community. We have the service station equipment, always giving back to the community and giving back in a big way. They'll be at the home show at Mohegan Sun this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So join us there at Mohegan Sun Home Show, Jenks Production. First booth to the right. Come and see Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. If you have any residential tanking needs, of course, you can always call 1-800-801-TANK, 1-800-801-TANK to get connected there. Rod, you're gearing up to go over to Italy March 3rd and March 8th. When will you take off? How long do you need to be there before to get acclimated before the World Transplant Winter Games, and how long will you be in Italy? And then where can people go to support you as you do this all for organ transplant community?
So traveling there, we'll travel. We lose a day of travel going so far east, but I'll leave the United States on February 28th. And then I'll arrive there a day early, try to, you know, get lungs acclimated and stuff like that.
Hold on, I have to ask a crazy question. In Europe, do they have the leap year, or is that just like a in the United States type of deal?
Oh, yeah, no, we're going to arrive on the 29th.
Okay.
Yeah. So a calendar is a calendar.
Calendar.
It's basically based on a Greek calendar, Chaz.
Just want to make sure.
I'm just thinking that it's probably originated somewhere in the off the Greek.
All right, that makes sense.
So that's at least that's what I would be. So I'll arrive there a day early, check in, and then we have a big event and then a parade down through the center of town and everything, where all the countries parade down. Everybody's ringing bells and lots of cameras out and stuff like that, and people cheering on the streets and things of that.
So since this is an Olympic supported event, do they have the rings there as well?
They have there'll be displays of flags that would mm-hmm. have rings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it's like I said, it's of that style, yep. But it's the Olympic people don't show up. I don't think it's probably a representative walking around somewhere, but you know, they're not as evident as they would be in the real Olympics.
And when you and I were speaking,
are there any representatives from Connecticut, Rod?
So at this time right now, there's no other representatives from Connecticut. We have Oregon, Idaho, Colorado, New Jersey, New York, Boston area, New Massachusetts, Connecticut, Florida. So people are in North Carolina. So people are coming from all over the United States. It just depends on how they heard about us. I mean, that's one of the challenges, is that people don't know we exist. The way healthcare works in the United States, if you do something like this, you expose yourself to be kicked off of all of your benefits and all those kind of things. So
they're always looking for a way to get you off, huh?
That's why it's 100% self-funded, whereas pretty much all the countries who compete against are fully funded by their countries. So they have team doctors that travel with them. They have a team masseuse that's rubbing down their legs and warming them up at the beginning of the events, top of the mountain. They're getting checked out for blood pressure. There's a doctor that checks us out for heart rate and blood pressure at the top, and they will determine whether you're fit to ski that day.
That happened at the last games, correct?
It did. There was a guy that was at the top, and he had traveled all the way to Banff, Canada.
Wait, to where?
To Banff, Canada.
Oh, jeez.
I know that's my favorite place. That's why I had to get that one.
It became one of mine as well, too. It's one of the most beautiful places around.
Banff, Canada is known here on Real Estate Radio. Maybe the most well-known Canadian location because
it's worth going.
Chaz's trip out to Banff.
I would go there again any day. It's one of the most beautiful places.
You guys can tell me all about it.
You know, but when it comes down to the travel part, yeah, I'll be there for about, I'll come back probably on the 10th. So the 29th to the 10th. So.
And you mentioned yesterday, so you do have a GoFundMe page.
I do.
Part of that is because you are self-supported, but another big component of that is what you guys are actually raising money for. Now, is that just, well, first tell us about the program, and then is that just the United States, or is that all of the countries that I believe are, what's the young child's name?
So I'm honored to work with a group. When I do go over there, I get on the bus in the morning in the transportation, and I see these young kids. There's a segment of these games that are called the Nicholas Games. 30 years ago, this is the 30th anniversary of this beginning. 30 years ago, a family was here from the United States, was in Italy. They were robbed at gunpoint. During the robbery, the young boy named Nicholas was shot and killed. The family, at that point, unselfishly so, decided that to give opt to have his organs given to children in Italy. The Nicholas Games are in celebration of this little boy. And in fact, Italy sees this little boy's selfless act as basically a very heroic act. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine that 8, 10 or more children benefited from this family's choice over there. And so when I get on there, I work with the kids and some of their fears, because let's face it, these kids are different than me. I was 45 years old when this happened. I had lived a full life and had achieved a lot in that period of time and stuck my toes in the sand and hugged enough people and felt really great about things in the world. But these kids are dealt a bad card. Some of them are not even out of the hospital for the first 2 or 3 years of their lives. So by the time they're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old and they go to someplace like Banff, Canada, for instance, and they see these mountains and I get an opportunity to work with those kids and high five them and work over their fears and help them get down the mountain because they haven't skied that much. And they have their own competition based on a friendly basis. Mm-hmm. And they create friendships that are everlasting and worldwide. There's a little buddy of mine from Ireland, Luke, and another little buddy of mine from Portugal, Bob. I mean, they're great friends, and they're just terrific people. He's in my GoFundMe page.
Luke, is this Luke or Bob in the GoFundMe page?
That's Luke. He's a pistol, man. He's the funniest little kid on earth, I swear to God. He wants to do the Irish hurling, and he wants to play football, and he wants to do all that, and his dad has to tell him, just relax. Chill out, man.
This is some amazing stuff you're doing.
Yeah, we're definitely going to link up this GoFundMe page because you have a goal of $4,000, which will go to the Nicholas Games.
Yes, it does. It doesn't go directly to Nicholas Games. It goes to my entry fee, which then helps sponsor a family from each country.
Understood.
Yep. To go for free. And so these families have enough hardship as it is trying to support medicine. I mean, sometimes the medicine can be $4,000 a month for your
right.
Immunosuppressant drugs and things like that. And the things, and you're going in and out and your parents are, somebody has to take care of you. So they're not working full time.
Rod, what's the link people can find? Because Chaz mentioned we'll link it up. We'll link it up on social and those kind of places, but that doesn't help the folks here on the radio. So
fair enough.
There's two places.
If you're interested in the games and the Nicholas Games themselves, it's the World Transplant Games Federation.org. So it's WTGF.org. And it gives you a full-on description of all the games. You go to the winter games section. The summer games section is also in there. And then for me, not to sound selfish at all, but this all helps and it goes to a good cause.
Absolutely.
It's the GoFundMe page. Basically, as you go to the GoFundMe page and you do the search and you type in Rod Cross Winter Games 2024, and you'll see my page comes up. And I've had some extremely generous people in there. But just so everybody knows, I mean, anything counts. Mm-hmm. And I do have extraordinary expenses on my own, of course. But this helps go to my entry fee. Mm-hmm. And so everything is appreciated. So,
search Rod Cross for the 2024 World Transplant Winter Game on the GoFundMe GoFundMe page to support Rod. Team USA relies 100% on self-funding and donations from family and friends like you. Rod Cross is the only representative from Connecticut competing in the 12th World Transplant Winter Games, which will be held in Italy from March 3rd to March 8th. So go help Rod and support him by searching on GoFundMe, the 2024 World Transplant Games, specifically for Rod Cross, so you can help support a member of our state here in Connecticut, member of our team here at the One Team, as he goes over, competes for the USA Team Transplant Winter Games, and hopefully Rod brings back the gold. All right, this is the deal. You got to bring back the gold. Or maybe you got to refund everybody. Is that a bet you're willing to take? Are you willing to?
He's putting up his next commission check from all those houses he sells. He doesn't come home with that gold where he's getting a piece.
Are you willing to bring back the gold?
GoFundMe page. Don't worry, it'll come full circle.
I've seen some of these guys ski. I will do absolutely the best I can, and I will just dig hard. I promise you that much. That's what I promise.
All right, Rod Cross is going to be digging hard at the 2024 World Transplant Winter Games for all of us here in Connecticut and at the One Team. We got our full support. That'll be March 3rd through 8th. Maybe we can have Rod back on as we get even closer to that. Obviously, as we get past next week's home show with Service Station Equipment at Mohegan Sun. A lot more to talk about here, Real Estate Radio. Stay with us. Rod Cross, thank you for coming on and sharing everything that you've got going on with the World Transplant Winter Games. Go find him online. Go support him. We'll have Rod back as he gears up and continues his march towards the winter transplant games. We've got Brian Skelly joining the program from William Ravis Mortgage. Have a conversation with him where things are headed in your Connecticut real estate market. When we come back, Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk. Byron Lazine, Chaz Cook, and Rob Wallace from the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. In a little bit, we'll be joined by Brian Skelly from William Ravis Mortgage. We'll talk where things are headed with the rate. Big week for Jerome Powell. He was on 60 Minutes last week. We can get a little bit of Skelly reaction to that. But before, let's take a look back at the last week for the One Team. What did the One Team do for the last week in terms of helping buyers, sellers, and investors across the state of Connecticut? And what open house opportunities do we have as we rewind the week for the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate? Of course, brought to you by Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. 1-800-801-TANK for all your tanking needs. Chaz, what's the One Team rewind for the week look like this week?
We have been busy, and I'm excited because the last couple of weeks we've had great weeks, but now we have a stellar week under our belt here with 4 new listings, 14 under contract, and 13 closings. So what are we, 6 weeks into the year? Already 13 closings.
That's wow. Awesome.
First up on our new listings is 61 Hermitage Lane in North Haven, Connecticut. This hit the market for $349,000, 4 bedrooms, 2 baths, 1,870 square feet, built in 1940, but also sitting on 1.75 acres. It's a very serene 1.75 acre lot on the end of a tranquil cul-de-sac. The 4-bedroom, 2-bath residence is a perfect blend of comfort and convenience. As you step inside, you'll be greeted by a cozy living room adorned with a wood stove, and the adjacent dining area seamlessly connects to a well-appointed kitchen, providing a practical layout for both daily living and entertaining. This is a Victoria Tavares listing. So if you would like to schedule a private showing of 61 Hermitage Lane in North Haven, you can reach out to Victoria at oneteamct.com. Again, that is on the market for $349,000. That is a deal anywhere, well below the median sales price here in the state of Connecticut, sitting on a 1.75 acre lot that is in good shape and a lot of usable land. So again, Victoria at oneteamct.com. Next up, maybe you're not into a big lot that you have to do all that landscaping, take care of. Maybe you're interested in a condo, because that's our next new listing, 285 Queen Street, number 7G in Southington, Connecticut. Hit the market for $259,000. 2 bedrooms, 1.5 baths, just over 1,100 square feet. This is a Michelle Chadwick listing, and you've got a monthly HOA of $253 there, so not too bad. Charming 2-bedroom, 1-bath townhouse. Perfect blend of comfort and convenience, and it's nestled in a desirable community. It's thoughtfully designed to meet all your needs. So again, if you would like to check that out, you can reach out to Michelle at oneteamct.com to schedule your private showing of 285 Queen Street, number 7G in Southington, Connecticut, on the market for $259,000.
Great price point. I love the price point there.
Next up, I'm not going to go too far in this one because it's already under contract. So big shout out to Tina Wozni and Mary Pula for this listing. 58 Oak Hill Road in Mottville, Connecticut. It's actually in Oakdale, which is part of Mottville, but got to be specific there. It came on for $152,000, 4 bedrooms, 1.5 baths, just over 1,500 square feet. It does need some love, but somebody saw the potential. And so they have that one under contract. So big shout out again to them. Congrats, Mary and Tina. And our final new listing, the phones have been ringing all week for this one. 54 Mechanic Street in Griswold, Connecticut, your hometown there, Byron, on the market for $199,000, 3 bedrooms, 1 bath, 1,950 square feet, brought to us by Levar. His phone's been ringing. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to go Sunday, open house style, appointment after appointment, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. I'm going to set up a camping chair and people are coming through.
Yeah, I'm going to be there Sunday too.
You're going to be one of the people coming through?
Bringing a client through.
Look at that. So
I know the house well over there on Mechanic Street, and I know Lee's told me he's had over 30 calls on this property. So that tells you this is a property that's priced well. It's hard to get a home in Connecticut priced at $199,000. So get over there on Sunday and check that out. Lee's at oneteamct.com if you need to reach out to him, right?
Yes, sir. All right. 14 under contracts. We had under contracts in Oakdale, Putnam, West Haven, Trumbull, Eastlime, Guilford, Mottville, Farmington, Bridgeport, New London, Coventry, Milford, New Haven, and Norwich. Closings, 13 of those bad boys. Congratulations to our buyers, sellers, and investors. We had closings in Middletown, New Haven, Meriden, Canton, Brantford, Meriden, Cheshire, Clinton, New Haven, Groton, Waterford, and Norwich. And we do have one coming soon listing, 162 Hog Hill Road in East Hampton. That is a Claire Emerson listing, and it's going to be coming on for $295,000. So make sure if you're looking in the East Hampton area, you head over to the oneteamct.com website, or you come back next week to Real Estate Radio and hear all the details about that. And one open house for the weekend, tomorrow, Sunday, February 11th, Super Bowl Sunday. From 12 to 2 p.m., you could head over to the award-winning residences at 66 High Street and tour all of the available units on Sunday, February the 11th from 12 to 2 p.m.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, we're going to have to find out who you got here, Chaz, before you take off. That's your One Team Rewind of the week. Go to oneteamct.com, oneteamct.com, oneteamct.com. for your buying, selling, and investing needs. Of course, the Rewind is brought to you by Service Station Equipment, 1-800-801-TANK for all of your residential tanking needs. Chaz, you're going to take off, but I know you got an appointment. You're a weekend warrior appointment that you're rushing to here. What do you got for the Super Bowl before you take off?
I'm going San Francisco.
All right. What's your score?
I wanted Buffalo to make it from the AFC. And so because the Chiefs took them down, I'm going to go with the Niners.
Okay.
I feel good about him too. I feel good about Brock Purdy. I think he's going to have some of that first time Super Bowl luck.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go Niners, and I'm even going to go +7.
Ah.
Byron, what's your pick?
What do you mean? So Niners are going to win by 7? +7 would mean that they're getting 7 points, and I mean they could lose by 6.
-7. Right. I apologize. I'm not that into like the plus and minuses. Right, so I think
you're saying
Niners win by at least 7.
Okay. You're calling a San Francisco blowout. All right. Yeah. I like that. I mean, I'm rooting for the Niners. I don't want to watch a Kansas City dynasty personally. But
so who's considered the underdog in this? I mean, my team didn't make it. You know, obviously.
Well, it's
so.
Got to be the Niners because the Chiefs have been there, you know, three out of the last four or three in a row.
Yeah, I thought the Chiefs were the underdogs. But, yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Chiefs are the underdog by a point or a point and a half last time I saw.
That's what I was going to say. ESPN Radio has meant like a point and a half, 2 points.
Yeah, usually I go for the underdog if my team doesn't make it. But then in this case, I'm going for Niners as well. I used to live in San Francisco, so.
Skelly's joined the party. Let's see what Skelly's got for the Super Bowl.
Everybody's favorite is Brian Skelly. Let's see if he's going underdog or favorite. What do you got?
I'm going to root for the 49ers, but if I had to put all my money on it, if I had to mortgage the house on it, I would probably bet on Mahomes to win again.
There you go. Root for the Niners. From the mortgage lender, if he had to mortgage the house, he's going KC, but rooting for San Francisco. Speaking of mortgages, Brian, I want to get your take. Jerome Powell is on 60 Minutes on Sunday. Doesn't really care to see him if people can afford a mortgage or not. His mandate from Congress is to stabilize prices, maximize employment. So he's basically just telling everybody to go rent. What's your take on Jerome Powell's comments about that and about the future of rates here as we start to get into the spring market?
Yeah, so I think Jerome Powell's doing his job. I used to be an economist before I was a mortgage broker. And, you know, his job's to fight inflation. And I think sometimes, you know, we live in the housing world and we think that's kind of the center of the universe. But it's not the center of his universe. Huh? He's more worried about inflation than he is housing prices and mortgage rates, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, he really just doesn't care. He doesn't care if people can build wealth long-term through owning real estate. You know, America is the only country that offers the 30-year fixed mortgage product. And it's helped so many people build wealth in this country. It's one of the reasons the baby boomers in this country control 1/7 of the world's wealth. That's 1/7 of the entire world's wealth is controlled by about 70 million people, the baby boomers here in America. They've been able to do really well in U.S. real estate over the years. The 30-year fixed mortgage has been a big part of that. But Powell doesn't care about any of that. He doesn't care if you're 75 times less wealthy as a renter than you are as a homeowner. He just cares about stabilizing prices today. So whether that means jacking the rate up more, which it seems like they're done jacking the rate up, or continuing to pause is what's been the case the last three meetings. As long as it stabilizes prices, that's all he cares about. We'll get more of Brian Skelly's reactions on the rate. We'll talk about your Connecticut real estate market. Rob, Connecticut's got 1,100 less homes on the market today than there was this same time last year. We'll talk about the market and the implications of that here on Real Estate Radio. You're listening to 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, Stimulating Talk. Fourth and final, Byron Lazine, Rob Wallace from the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. You can find us at oneteamct.com, oneteamct.com. It's the best team in Connecticut. We'll find out who the best team in the NFL is later on tomorrow. But the One Team has sold more homes than any other team in the state of Connecticut for the last 37 straight months. We've had more homes that we've listed and sold than any other team in Connecticut, as well as total transactions, all because of everyone like you, the listeners here on 94.9 on Real Estate Radio, and all of our great clients. Again, you could come visit us at oneteamct.com. We're joined by Brian Skelly from William Ravis Mortgage. Brian, breaking down the Jerome Powell conversation from 60 Minutes last week. And also like to pick your brain, Brian, about the future of rates here as we get into the spring market. Connecticut is faced with 1,100 less homes approximately than we had on the market last year at the same time. So there's significantly less opportunity for buyers. So typically when you have less supply, you see prices going up. Connecticut was one of the handful of states across the country that saw double-digit price increases on percentages last year. The country saw between 5 and 6% home price appreciation, where Connecticut was up over 10%. And typically when you have this starvation of supply, you might see prices go up higher. So what should buyers be doing? Should they be waiting until the end of spring when prices could be even higher and expecting maybe a lower rate? Or should they be acting now despite where the rate may or may not go in the future? What's your take on waiting on a rate as we move forward?
Yeah, so my philosophy has always been a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush, as they say. And rates are not always going down. I mean, if you look at most of the news articles, if you look at most of the forecasts from, you know, National Association of Realtors, National Association of Mortgage Bankers, all these people that predict what's going on, they all say rates are going to be lower at the end of the year. But that doesn't mean rates are going to be lower in the next 60 days. Last Friday, February 2nd, was the largest single day increase in mortgage rates in the last 12 months. And that was driven by a really strong jobs report. So I think probably even more so than what Powell had to say on 60 Minutes, that jobs report moved the market significantly.
Yeah.
And so we talked about it a little bit last week on the show, but I didn't really realize at the time what a big impact it had until Monday when I saw the rates come out, and they were significantly higher. So why does that make rates go up? Well, basically, the amount of jobs that were created was double what everybody was expecting. So, you know, inflation's been pretty low, but when that many new jobs are created, everybody who has money to invest says, whoa, maybe this economy is doing better than we thought. And when the economy is doing great, that leads to more concerns about inflation, and rates went up. So, you know, we were seeing Mortgage News Daily was reporting rates close to 6.5% in December. I saw them briefly touch above 7% before ending Friday at 6.97%. So the safe thing to do, if you just got an offer accepted on a house yesterday, the safe thing to do is lock it in. Because, you know, if you lock the rate and they go down a little bit, you're going to be a little bit disappointed. But if you don't lock the rate and they go up, you're not going to like that. So take it while you can is my advice.
Rob, in our experience, when we look back at the data for 25 years going back in Connecticut per the CTMLS, we see that every spring market is where, you know, by the end of the spring, really in the summer, is when we see Connecticut prices in a down market, up market, doesn't matter. But we see that spring market, you know, every month over month, the prices, you know, continue to go up. We have basically 25 straight years of that same data where prices go up at the end of the spring compared to where they were. Again, whether it's a down or an up market, those months are the months of the year when home prices are going up. I mean, maybe the easiest bet of the weekend would be betting on the same to continue as we look forward in the spring market, that prices will probably be more expensive at the end of the spring than they are now. Is that maybe the safest bet we could all make this weekend?
I mean, I'm with you on that. I agree. And a lot of the times the past couple of years, we've been seeing early spring markets, you know, as early as January. So yeah, for sure.
What's like this week? There's always that old school theme. Any of our agents who have been doing this for decades, there used to be this phrase, you know, the spring market starts after the Super Bowl weekend. Just based off of the phone calls, the interest that you're getting right now on your listings and then with your clients, are they more active right now this weekend than say 4 weeks ago?
They're more active this weekend than they were last weekend. 100%. Wow. Yeah. My listings, I'm getting a lot of calls, and even my buyers, I mean, I put in an offer. Usually I'm a really good agent. I do really good for my clients. We win a lot of offers, but I was up against 26 offers on a home in East Lyme, and we lost. So,
wow. So, yep. You know, when somebody, you know, it's hard to compete 26 offers. I mean, when you have that, and we saw this a couple of years ago, 26 offers on one home, the winner usually has to go so far above and beyond the comfort level of most buyers to be able to win a deal like that. Okay. So think about it like this for everybody listening. One buyer won that bid. They got the house and they're going to close on it.
Others that are now out there actively looking again.
That's it, right? That's exactly it. I mean, one person's happy. I'm sure that's going to be a beautiful situation for them and their family. And yeah, Rob, to your point, there's 25 more buyers. So now another house comes in the market and we have 1,100 less than we did the same time, approximately same time right now, last year, as we do right now. And last year was an all-time low on inventory. So we keep setting new records. So now you've got maybe another house will come on to market in East Lyme or Waterford or whatever. And these 25 buyers are all going to go there.
Yep.
Potentially, you know, a good portion of them make offers. And it's just hard with this lack of inventory to really chip away. There's still a serious pent up demand that we're experiencing here in the state of Connecticut, you know, certainly for properties that are quote unquote in the affordable ranges. Brian, you would know better than anybody because you're giving out pre-approvals and pre-qualifications for mortgages every single week. Are you seeing that pent up demand starting to build up again? And we're only in the first inning, I would call it, of a spring market.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've been busy since January 1st. And so I think if you're talking about early spring, I would definitely agree with that. And there's combination of people that I haven't talked to in a while. I submitted two loan applications this week. One of them I originally pre-approved in November of 2023. The other one I originally pre-approved in October of 2022, like 14 months ago. And they both just bought houses. And then, so we've got those people that had given up and are coming back, as well as new people calling that are just getting pre-approved for the first time. So you have this kind of like, you know, when you have if you go swimming in the ocean and there's like a whole bunch of little waves, and every once in a while you get two waves and they kind of combine into this big wave. I mean, that's my concern, is you have the people that tried to buy a house in 2022 and gave up and are coming back. And then the other people that are just like, hey, maybe we should buy a house, and they're coming in, and they're all coming. It's and there's not enough houses for everybody. But there's a lot of more equity too. I read an interesting stat. Black Knight Mortgage Sentiment article said that the amount of equity increased for mortgage holders by $1.6 trillion last year. It was the largest total increase in home equity on record. 2/3 of the mortgages were held by people with credit scores over 760. And the average mortgage holder has $299,000 in equity that they can tap into. So I'm hopeful that folks will say, hey, you know what? We've got this equity. Yeah, the rates are a little higher, but maybe we can take some of this money that we've got and list our house for sale, because we need some more houses for sale for sure.
We definitely need some more homes for sale. There are some opportunities to help buyers. One of the great programs that we've helped so many buyers and are currently helping buyers with is the Time to Own program here in Connecticut. Brian, I just saw that Governor Lamont, put his budget proposal out there. His budget plans to keep Connecticut's current budget within the guardrails, as well as paying down $500 million in debt. It's a $26.1 billion budget that, again, would erase $500 million in debt. That's the headline. I haven't dug into it in its entirety, but I'd love to know if you've heard anything. Is this going to impact the funding of the Time to Own loan, which is helping so many people in Connecticut, achieve more affordability on their home purchase?
Not to my knowledge. We, as a mortgage company, we received a communication from CHFA, the Connecticut Housing Finance Authority, in October, stating that they had been told, I mean, this could change, and I don't know if it has or not, but they were told that they were going to receive funding for 2 years. And then the most recent batch of funding that they received was $40 million, which was significantly more than they had gotten a few disbursements of $20 million at a time. And then now they're working through the most recent disbursement of $40 million. So it does seem like that program is going to be around for another year or two in my estimation.
All right.
And for those of you who don't know, it's up to $50,000 towards down payment and closing costs in a 0% interest rate, no monthly payments, forgivable loan over 10 years. So in the 19 years I've been doing mortgages, it is by far the most attractive first-time homebuyer program I have ever seen, hands down.
I second that. It is the best first-time homebuyer program I've ever seen. We've seen clients use it, agents use it. You can access it even with much higher income than you would think, because the income limits are high on that. So
over 100,000, right, you could over 100,000 income limits. So a lot of people are eligible.
For Rob Wallace and myself, Byron Lazine, and everybody at the One Team, as well as Brian Skelly with William Ravis Mortgage, we hope you guys have a great Super Bowl weekend. And I hope to see you guys next weekend at the home show at Mohegan Sun. Come check out the Service Station Equipment booth. Thank you to Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. Thank you to everybody at 94.9. Have a great weekend. Have a great Super Bowl. Have a safe Super Bowl. And we'll see you here next week at the home show. You're listening to 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.